The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
You're hearing The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Well, always want to keep the lines of communication to the people that are, well, at least in control of the state legislature. Democrats, including Jeff Golden, really are. And hear what he has to say. So some amendments coming for Senate Bill 762 as far as Senate Bill 79, which looks like a pretty dangerous bill. Well, this whole thing about preventing any kind of outbuilding or anything being built with any wildfire risk on it, that's been taken out. That's been taken out of it. But there's still a lot of bad in there. That's going to have to be a conversation for another time. And I guess at this point, let us talk to you. All right. Let me talk with Steve. Steve's in Sunny Valley. Morning, Steve.
Good morning. A little story. In 1989, I got my pilot's license, and some of the cheapest lesson I ever got was mountain flying. Mm-hmm. It cost me a Mountain Dew and a newspaper. And we flew that newspaper out to a fire watchtower and delivered it. And what I noticed, every 4 o'clock every afternoon, that flight took off and flew around looking for smoke. And it was paid for by the logging companies, and it worked, and we had roads to get to where the fires were, and we had people in the woods who put out the fires right away. But for 50 years, people in the cities have been trying to tell us people in the rural areas how to live and controlling our lives. Well, they turn the cities into cesspools, and they need to just leave us alone. And you know what? I think in Jefferson State, it's a hard pull, but they'd leave us alone.
Appreciate the call, Steve. Let me go to, Ron. Ron, you think that the Senate Bill 762 workshop should be moved. What are you thinking on that?
I think it should, because if there was almost 700 people at the fairgrounds last Thursday, there's probably going to be double that amount, and they're not going to get that into the Republican headquarters. Now, secondarily, I want to give you an example of how the failure of their determining one of the properties that I inherited that was out of compliance. They made a claim the other night at the Thursday meeting, the Courier reported that if you had over 40 acres and more than one structure on a property, then you did not fall into the category of the high fire danger. And so I have that issue. I've just got one structure, and it's 4.29 acres. So they've misdesignated that, and they shouldn't have done that to begin with. They should have been more accurate. Secondarily, in that same property, there's been two lightning strikes on tall trees, and neither one of them resulted in a fire. So it's 0-2 as far as I'm concerned for this crappy law, and it's time to bring in reality. Thank you very much.
All right. Imagine there's another person appealing. Let me go to Brad. Brad, go ahead.
Hey, Bill, good morning. Great having the senator on. So here's the deal. What I heard the senator say, especially there at the end, is look, you just need to understand the world has changed. Things are different. Can't kick the can down the road anymore.
Yeah, and essentially you're going to pay, and you're going to pay good and hard, is essentially how I interpreted that.
But it's really disingenuous. So the CEO of the Oregon Home Builders Association at the time that 762 went through was Mark Long. Mark Long got a coalition that killed that bill five different times for economic reasons. The thing is he may say, well, you know, we're not really trying to go against farmers. We're short on farmland, this, that, and the other. But Golden and his ideological colleagues there in the legislature, Bill, they have done everything that they can do that make farming harder in the state. So you can't,
including the recent labor laws, the changes.
Yes.
I think it was Boley that did that, another state agency.
This is Bill. This is all about urban densification. And let me just give you one really quick, painful example. I have a family member that lives in Baker County. And as a result of 762, the fire map, and other recent, basically everything going back to 662, the payment, their obligation on their property, they've got some rural property out there, is going up $1,000 a month unless they can do something. Imagine that. This person has to figure out how to come up with $1,000 a month on top of everything else they're already doing on that property because 762 went through. This is happening to tens of thousands of Oregonians all across our state.
Thank you, Brad. 770-5633. Ed's here. Hello, Mr. X.
Hello, Bill. How are you? I wanted to comment on a couple of things since Senator Golden is making suggestions that they're going to change this bill. But the reality to it is we have to look at what I did is I looked at who's doing the mapping. Where does the software originate? Where do the mapping groups come from that the Oregon State University did? And it was an interesting dive on that because it goes to a group called PyroLogics, okay, out of Missoula, Montana, and then a group called Vibrant Planet is partnered with PyroLogics, and the ultimate thing was I listened to a TED talk given by the CEO of Vibrant Planet. And it is just enlightening. And why are we using these people?
Now, I would venture a guess that Vibrant Planet, something tells me that it is more of the urban densification, climate-friendly, equitable community point of view. Would that be a fair?
In every way possible, Bill. And literally, you know, I would look at this and say the TED Talk explains it all. Everybody can form their own opinion. I would urge people to look at that. But the question comes down to is why would we as a state give over the power to this mapping to a group that's headed by an individual that believes in this? And when you listen to the talk, you understand what is believed in. And, you know, the concept of landscape restoration, of restoration, we have to restore our forests to pre-white settlement conditions.
And, of course, to them, restoration means burning it all.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And now this program has somehow appeared across the country. I was looking at it yesterday where it's in all through the Southeast, Florida, Texas, all of these things. And it's all about this mapping. We have to map it. We have to map it. Well, if you recall the news stories, they were using this stuff during the LA fires. Now, all of this combined goes back to this thing, landscape restoration. Well, if they burn you out, you can't, you know, they try to make it so you can't rebuild what you have. And I look at this, and he talks about, oh, some people don't trust. Well,
we've been given no reason to trust, Ed. There's no reason to trust.
That's right. There's no reason to trust. So, in other words, if you're going to be a government for the good of the people that are here, don't impose such a ridiculous idea that you want to burn. And the ODF even says, on a landscape approach in the administrative rule. This is a concept of like, well, wait a minute now. Where is the right to, you know, the fundamental foundational thing of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? That used to be, that was supposed to read originally in the formation of the Constitution to the pursuit of property, okay? So you look at it in the history of all of this, and what is it? It's can't be construed that they've conducted themselves in a fiduciary capacity to look out for our best interests.
And this whole idea about right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and property, which is really, you know, what it should have been in the first place, doesn't live with this, well, you're just going to have to pay more because it's just a different time. What do you mean by that?
What occurred to me when I reviewed all this mapping thing, the reality to this comes down to we're going to be mapped out by a technocratic control person, one person. The idea of what they put forward is this idea of restoration by fire. Fire is good.
Could you send me a link to that TED Talk? I'd like to post that today on the
gladly,
show blog. Okay,
gladly, Bill. Gladly.
All right, please do. Hey, Ed, got a roll, but I want to take some more listener calls here. Conspiracy Theory Thursday, of course. You know, a lot of a conversation about fire mapping, the control of private property on the rural lands, and more. If you're on hold, we'll get right to you. I have one line open, 770-5633. We'll roll to them in just a little bit.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those individuals who currently or have previously served this great country and our local.
Noon hours going all the way through early Friday. Could add another 1 to 2 inches for the valley floor. High today of 38.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Let's see. Price of gold dipped a little bit, about a half a percent. So, gosh, it's 28.51. It has just been on this amazing seesawing, just up a little give back, a little give back. It's really about showing that, the markets are thinking that chaos is here and chaos is probably going to continue no matter who is president, no matter who is in Congress, and that the central banks are kind of out of control of the social welfare states of the West. That's kind of a overall take on it, because the dollar is strong right now. It's not about weakening dollar. In this case, it's, you know, kind of almost in tandem. Dollar's going up and gold's going up. Yeah. Don't want to be part of the great taking. So I think part of your wealth needs to be put into gold and physical silver. Physical gold and silver under your control. Talk to Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Great people. Been supporters of talk radio for many, many years, and we appreciate that and appreciate you doing business with this local company. They'll help explain it to you. Hey, if you've been holding gold since maybe you bought gold at 400, you're looking, hey, 2852, I'm going to take my profit right now. That's certainly okay, too. Scrap gold, great time to take it down there. Same with silver, too. They'll deal with silver, gold, diamonds, platinum, various other precious items. And it is just about as honest a situation as you get. Here's the weight. Here's the cost. Boom. Life is good. Especially when you're talking with Jay Austin, the recognized experts. Ashland Grants Pass, FortuneReserve.com. Kim Commando coming up. And then after that, your calls on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
Kim Commando is sponsored locally by Tech Nomad, your trusted local computer repair expert service, done remotely by drop-off or they'll come to you. Visit mytechnomad.com.
Today, a tip of the hat to the legendary Hollywood
94 AS Ashland.
Let's get to your calls here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Conversation there with Senator Jeff Golden. I really appreciated hearing it kind of out in the open about, hey, it's a different world and you're just going to have to pay more, and you're going to pay more for your power. You're going to need to pay more for your insurance. You're going to pay more and more and more. And probably you're going to pay more to the state of Oregon for the privilege of having private land out in the rural areas because fire. And at the same time, we want to have fire on the landscape because that restores the forest. You can see where they're, you know, contradictory in nature. 17 after 8. Let me go to Ron. Hello, Ron. You wanted to have a conversation about this. Go ahead. What's your take?
Yeah, I partook primarily listening to the conversation with Senator Golden, and I want to give you my basic observation. He is conceding to a certain degree, and I think it's logical for anybody to assess that Mr. Golden, as the primary sponsor of 762 legislative action, has effectively advocated additional tax on the people based on science that he didn't understand.
Okay.
So he is,
ultimately, though, and I didn't have time to get to this again, but I want to continue to press him, though. Ultimately, yeah. I think this is about transferring. The fact of the matter is the state legislature, controlled mostly by Democrats, does not like paying for wildfire fighting out of the general fund. They want to be able to have it for gender reassignment, exactly, surgery, whatever, all sorts of other things. And those pesky wildfires, especially coming off of federal land and the management going on there, is a problem. And so we're going to say, well, your land is really, really bad. Your land is misbehaving, all right? And so you have to harden it in order to allow the fire to roar through that we want for landscape management. And, Yeah, just remember here, Ron, it's a different time. You're just going to have to pay.
Yeah, did you catch the fact that there is an amendment coming, which I would say there would be no amendment coming if the conversation hadn't been started in the first place? In other words, he's backing up politically to produce what seems like a more palpable consumable by the people. I don't think that's going to work. I think it's gotten out of hand. The bottom line is, whether I don't know if you agree or disagree, but Senator Golden has essentially advocated legislation and sponsoring this legislation that effectively makes use of science that he admittedly doesn't understand.
All right. Appreciate the call, Ron. 770-5633. On to Greg in Gold Hill. Greg, good to have you here. Welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure.
So I just wanted to preface this by saying that I have respect for Jeff Golden. However, I want to take us all the way back to something he said.
Yeah, you know something, Greg? You're going to have to get your cell phone in a better situation. It's kind of rough. Try it again. I'm missing about every other word here.
Okay, I apologize.
Oh, there we go. That's better. Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, so my wife and I wound up in the courthouse down there in Jackson County in front of a Supreme Court, Oregon Supreme Court retired judge, in a hearing over whether or not we could continue to build a house we'd already poured a foundation for. Think about that. Now, when you consider that history, which he briefly touched on, we've been up here since 1990. We've been clearing brush every available moment that I could physically do it, when it was a burn day or a whatever. And so I take all this a little bit personal. And I just want to say that I'm glad to hear him backpedaling there. I think that he's a very smart guy, and I think he realizes that he got in way over his head with this bill. So I'm looking forward to seeing some kind of relief, but I wouldn't hold my breath out here. And I've been working with the city of Gold Hill to try to open a pathway for people to volunteer. It's obvious to me all branches of government are overwhelmed by this fire situation. And I've also been talking to the Department of Jackson County and Oregon State. And the crux of the matter is I can't get permission to do one thing on any easement or right-of-way for any government agency because they're not willing to accept the liability. Now, the Steve Gold.
So, in other words, the problem continues to fester and worsen because of government regulation and permitting process.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That doesn't surprise me in the least. Ultimately, though, this is what happens, though, when you replace, you know, as flawed as logging could have been in some ways, when you replaced a continual harvesting of the biomass that would continue to grow, when you replace it with nothing, in essence, and then say, well, now we have to burn that same overgrown forest, you're going to get what we have right now. Appreciate the call. Thanks for that. Let me go to Wild Sam and Steve. Steve, good to have you on. Your impression about hearing the conversation with Senator Golden.
Well, man, you made a wonderful lead-in. And in some ways, I'm backing up Golden, but I think he's not doing this for any logical reason. I think it's just who he is. But this all, you know, from 1945 at the end of World War II up until 1995, we didn't have fires. And during that period of time, the Forest Service and BLM's mandates were followed such that they had to sell timber, have grazing leases.
It was a more common sense time, right. And we have removed common sense and replaced it with ideology at all levels of both state and fed gov.
And Senator Golden brought up the point that there is no money. We've run out of money. The problem was prior to 1995, all of that was funded by those resource managements. That was the mandate set up that started the Forest Service and BLM. Well, when they stopped the logging, they developed this fire management strategy, and that's how they funded the Forest Service and BLM.
But it's not a profitable, sustainable model, the fire management model, because there is absolutely no economic benefit to it. It is a cost on the society to do this.
Well, yeah, and actually, in a perverse way, they have an incentive to burn up more, and they do it. I mean, if you follow what happens when there's a fire going and the federal managers come in, they burn out whole drainages. That's what they do. And the reason they do it is because that's how they fund the bureaucracies. The Forest Service and BLM, the only source of income they have, the only thing that Congress will fund is fire management.
And that is a political issue. That's not climate change. That is a political issue and choice. That is a choice that has been made.
But as the plumber says, stuff runs downhill. Well, it's gone downhill, as Senator Golden said, to the point that they have no more money. There is no federal money to fight fires on the scale that we're having it.
And so the idea, then I figure ultimately the idea is then to bill property owners living in the rural lands for this lack of money. In other words, backfill.
There's not enough money from the property owners to actually accomplish what they're saying they want to do, because they can't fix the problem.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Let me go to Michael. Michael, you have a take on it, too. Go ahead.
Well, Bill, I have to say that I'm very thankful for Mr. Golden speaking the truth at the end of his visit with you. He basically said, we've kicked the can down the road time and time again. So he has admitted that he and the other congressional critters are incompetent to do the job that they were elected to do. So we, the people, thank him for stating that, and we accept all of your resignations immediately. Please vacate the building.
Yeah, you know something, Michael? I'm giving you a real American salute. Do you mind? All right. Because you are right. That is, in essence, what he said. We have kicked the can. Well, who is we? We is the Democratic power structure, which largely has controlled the entire agenda for decades now in Oregon, with rare exception. There have been some times that there was a change of administrations. I think we had a Picatia. But you're having to go back 40-something years, to see things like this. There is a consequence of these political choices.
Yeah, he's admitted that they're not doing the jobs that they were elected to do, so get out of office, get out of the way.
All right. Grab a couple more calls here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Ranger.
Hi, Ranger.
Hey, until the counties and the cities all band together and just say no, they're just going to keep grinding people down.
And Ranger, I agree to an extent, but you also understand that what are counties?
I'm sorry, say again?
What are counties? How are counties legally defined?
It isn't a matter of legally defining.
Oh, yes, it is. Because the counties, first and foremost, are agencies of the state. We always have to make sure and look at that through the rubric of even their definitions, how they are defined as subset and agencies of the state. And where the agencies come down here and tell you, for the most part, you're going to dance to that tune or else. I'm just trying to be realistic about it. Having counties resisting, of course, is part of it. But I just want to make sure that, it's like the same kind of thinking that, Trump's in, so he'll fix it all. I wish that were the case. Good morning. Hi, who's this?
Good morning, Bill. This is David.
Hi, David.
Just a couple questions. If states can't do things that are the purview of the federal government, say down on the border in Texas, mm-hmm. the governor of Texas, remember all the controversy about...
Yeah, anybody trying to enforce federal immigration law. Yeah, you're right. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then I want to understand something. If why is the state or the county or the citizen individuals responsible for when the agency
wants their own law. Okay, I cannot hear you right now. You're breaking up. But try it again.
They have their own law enforcement. Forest Service has actual police officers in the Forest Service. Mm-hmm. Same as BLM. Why, if there's a crime in a federal forest, are we responsible? And why are we responsible for wildland fires on federal lands? How come the federal government isn't responsible for all this? Why are we responsible?
Why are we responsible? Because it's our fault for living here.
No.
I know. You're thinking like, why are we responsible for it? It's because federal government is a poor landlord and a bad neighbor, you know, essentially. And
no, but we're saying, Bill, but it's push me, pull you. It's
I know that.
Tails I lose, heads I win. It's you can't win on this one. Then they got us painted in. I mean, it's so stupid.
Yeah, but once again, it was a political choice. Which, of course, the state of Oregon is actually quite happy with the decision to not use the natural resources and instead make natural resources a burden on the people. I wish I had an easy, you know, back of the cocktail napkin solution for you, David. I'll take one more call and then I got to go. Hi, who's this? Morning.
Morning, this is Neil.
Yeah, Neil.
My grandfather used to manage the forest in this county when he was a young man. And we didn't have this problem. It is a complete mismanagement. He was forced out when he turned 70 because he was too old to be a Forest Service manager. Mm-hmm. And he did an excellent job, and he's got to be rolling over his grave to watch what they've done to his fucking forest.
I think we'll call that good. Thanks for the call. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Deb calling.
Hi, Deb.
Hey. Hi. My frustration, you know, on all this is it's – Golden is completely out of touch. He's not even paying attention to the fact and listening to us that it's the unconstitutionality of this and the fact that they want access to our properties. It's just going to lead to further stuff.
Which is why it's going to take the appeals, and frankly, it's going to take some citizens banding together. You're going to have to sue.
We need to plant our feet and stand that no more.
Yeah, but it's going to take law. It's going to take lawfare too, because essentially the state legislature engaged in lawfare against rural property owners, in my opinion. And
exactly.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to dig deep and fight back with lawfare, and then the state of Oregon will then, of course, plunder you for tax money to continue to fight you, kind of like the gun battles here too. But it is part of the process.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Deb. KMED. Hi, who's this?
Yeah, Bill?
Yeah, Jerry.
Yeah. I got one comment on Jeff Golden's speech.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken like a true socialist.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let me go to line 4. Hi. Good morning.
Me?
Yes.
Good morning. I have a question. Over the last 25 years, I've assisted probably 10, 15 different people to acquire a lodial title. A lodial title means absolute right and title. And I wonder if there's someone on the online who knows how having a lodial title would affect this question.
Let's see. That would be – there's a guy who would come down and do some – what do you call them? Workshops on that. Eugene something. You know, his name escapes me right now. I think that Jeff or Debbie Sterling will probably write me in a little bit and remind me of that, and then maybe we'll mention it. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, a lodial title, yeah, rather than fee simple or however it is most of our properties are designed at, could be interesting. Yeah, I like it. It's another tool in the toolbox. Has it been tested in the courts here? I don't know. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Joel.
Yeah, Joel.
Yeah, I'm kind of snowed in yesterday. I made it a half a mile out of here before I ran into like a basic sinkhole where the water cascading across the road as approached the hill.
Yeah.
And I hiked over to the neighbor's house, and he's stuck in the yard too. And we both need dog food, and I need propane. And I just thought anyone listening in the general Hornbrook area that could contact Sharon down at the Chevron station, like she could give him my number.
Okay. So you want me to – why don't you call Sharon down to the gas station and let her know?
I did.
Oh, okay. So she knows about it. All right. So you need dog food and what else?
Propane.
Dog food and propane. All right. For people down in the Iron Gate. If anybody can help, get in touch with Sharon down at the gas station. All right. Hey, best of luck on that. Okay. Really. 833 KMED. 99.3 KBXG.
Don't settle for a typical store-bought cake. Serve a Nothing Bundt cake. Nothing Bundt.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Wow. A lot of people hot and bothered, upset. I appreciate your calls here on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Maybe the conspiracy theory is that we think we can control this. I don't know. Well, I'd like to think we can. Does take collective effort, though. Because collective stupidity brought us to where we are right now, that is for sure. And it comes to what's happening in our private lands on the rural areas here. But anyway, we'll set that aside. I need to have a palate cleanser. I just need to take a little break from this. We're going to have a Diner 62 quiz. Not right now. Give me about 10 minutes or so. But Sam Miller is a comedian. He's in town. He's a comic. And he's incredibly funny. But he makes fun of something that we're dealing with all the time. And that's homelessness and addiction. He went through this. He's been in prison. And he's appearing tonight at the Copper Plank in Medford. The Copper Plank is that old Eagles Club, I think is what it is, you know, going into downtown Medford, you know, that amazing building. And the show is 8 to 10 tonight. Doors open at 7. And he's out in the hallway, and we're just going to have a little talk about this, you know, how you make such humor out of something so heart attack serious, right? We'll have a conversation about that, and then more of your calls and Diner 62 quiz and a bunch more.
Introducing sweet February favorites at Artisan Bakery Cafe.
Southern Oregon's best, like Silver Rain, Medford Foot and Ankle Clinic, Affordable Truck and RV, Edenvale Winery, and Advanced Esthetician. Congratulations to all the award winners from Bicoastal Media, publishers of the Best of Southern Oregon magazine. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com today.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone, owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
I've talked to maybe, I don't know, two, three, four comedians, comics in my life. And it's always kind of interesting because here it is. I do a serious talk show, at least a lot of serious. We try to have some lightning and lightening it up. And it's not very often I can talk to a comic who not only is in town tonight, by the way, his name is Sam Miller, tonight, the Copper Plank in Medford. That's the old, Steve, that's the old Eagles Club, right? Yeah, he's looking at me, the old Eagles Club. And it's 8 to 10 tonight. Doors open at 7 o'clock. And if you have ever checked out Sam Miller, I was watching some of his YouTubes, and I was just cracking up. And I said, I would love to have him come in. We need a palate cleanser. How are you doing this morning, Sam?
I'm here to cleanse all palates.
Cleanse all palates.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because you come at comedy from a different angle, and we have so many people on a serious issue here, a lot of drug addiction, a lot of homelessness and all these things. And the thing is, you lived it.
Yeah.
But you've made it a big part of your act, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. I try to speak as honestly as I can about addiction and about homelessness. And I'm one of the lucky ones that I've kind of found my way out.
And you were in prison for a while, I guess, with the cartel members?
Not prison. I was in jail.
In jail.
But I was in the Yakima jail, and there was a lot of heavy guys. There was cartel guys. There was a little bit of everybody. Because it was a lot of folks on federal holds in the Yakima jail. And I think the Yakima jail actually got shut down. Like, they got in trouble.
Okay.
Because it was so rough.
The thing is, though, now, if you saw Sam on camera when he comes in here, he's about a foot and a half taller. He's taller than my son. And I thought, my son was the biggest guy. Did that help you in jail?
No, it does not.
It didn't?
Just like regular life. The key to handling incarceration is you just want to blend in and be like everybody else.
How do you blend in?
Exactly. I did not blend in, and I got tested more than a few times, and I didn't like it. I was 19. It was terrible, man.
19?
Yeah, people ask me sometimes, they're like, what's the Yakima jail like? And I'm like, have you ever been to Yakima? Like, imagine the jail.
So tonight's show, 8 till 10, you do two-hour show. You're toured all over the area. We're glad to have you come in here. And now, it would be fair to say this is not a show for the kids, though, right?
No, I'm not filthy. I'm not mean, but I am. There's dirtier jokes for sure, but I'm not a gross comedian, and I'm not a hurtful comedian either. I don't make fun of people. I make fun of myself usually, and there's a lot to make fun of.
I'm glad that you're able to pull out, though. And the other thing is that, and here we are, a political show, but you do comedy that is non-political for
yeah,
the most part. Right?
I don't think people come to comedy shows to hear what I think about things. I think there is a place for politics in comedy and on both sides, but I just don't. It's just not what I do. I've never been able to get those jokes to land. And
especially when half like it and half want to barbecue you.
Well, it
right?
depends on what part of the country I'm in, because I haven't been to a lot of half and half shows, but I've been to a lot, you know, like I work in the cities and I work in the country, and I like both of them for different reasons, you know. Like I work in Chicago, but I also work in Indiana.
Yeah, you know? Is it one of those things where can America be funny again? Because I swear the last 5 to 10 to 15 years, it was really, it's been really tough. Like people weren't allowed to laugh at anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle again, because I get where people are coming from. Like, oh, I can't say this. But in certain ways, you can say more about certain issues. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When people talk about, like the way I talk about addiction, I don't know if I could have gotten away with this 20 years ago. Because there was still such a stigma on recovery and drug use. It's funny because, like, all the comedians in the 80s, they were all high on cocaine, but not a lot of them were talking about it, you know?
Like now they are?
Yeah, and now I don't do cocaine, and I won't shut up about drugs, so.
Well, I know. I'm watching your videos, and I'm laughing, and of course, I love the part with Sam Miller, by the way. He says, yeah, I don't do political jokes. And I said, that's not true. You did one. Sam, you did one yeah. on and it had it involved former President Obama. Tell me about that one.
Well, first, I want to say this because I don't want people to my jokes. My set is not all about drugs. I talk about my kids. I talk about everything. But
I know. But to actually use this though is
so like I've been sober since June 10th, 2008. I got in a lot of trouble and I did use a lot of methamphetamines. And I have a joke where I go, yeah, it's like I used to smoke meth out of light bulbs. But I had to stop in 2008. I go, it wasn't my choice, though. They switched to those twisty ones. And I'm like, thanks, Obama.
And I just cracked up because it's so true. Scuba over there next door.
That's when you know you got a drug problem, is I didn't just have the DEA after me. I had the EPA.
After you, too. Yeah, the mercury problem, right, with the curly fry bulb.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, the thing is, what I admire, and I don't know if everyone's ever told you this, but I've interviewed a lot of people over the years. But I have great admiration for comics, for comedians, because the thing is, you're kind of putting it on the line every time. Don't you have to be incredibly brave? I'm not trying to make you into a hero. Don't get me wrong. But it's like you're only as good as how that joke goes. It's like instantaneous feedback.
I get where you're coming from, but for me, it's almost like a totally different framework.
Really? How so?
Because I can't imagine my life not being on stage. Like, for me, it's much harder to not tell everybody every stupid thought that comes into my mind. Like, I literally drive around. Like, I drove here. I'm from Olympia, Washington, you know, and I drove 6 hours yesterday or whatever it is to get down here. I'm going to drive 5 hours tomorrow, and I drive in my car. And I ignore the podcast I'm trying to listen to, and I think about jokes, and I imagine myself on stage. The hard part of comedy for me is the business side is hard.
What side of that? I'm just curious.
It's just a lot, you know, to try to, you know, there's so much stand-up comedy going on in the country at a time, and I'm at this point in my career where, like, I'm a legitimate headliner. I'm doing really well on social media. I have great momentum, but there's still like this kind of entrenched system that I have to learn about, and I have to play the game. I have to kiss the rings, and I'm okay kissing some rings, but I get
depends
tired.
On where those rings have been.
Yeah, exactly. Especially some of these club owners, you know.
Yikes. Sam Miller tonight at the Copper Plank in Medford, the old Eagles Club in downtown Medford, 8 to 10. Doors open at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to post some of your YouTubes up there so people get a little taste of this here. And what was that now? Sam Miller comedy. Okay.
It used to be at the Elks Lodge, not the Eagles
Elks
Lodge.
Lodge.
It's the old Elks Lodge.
Pardon me, the old.
You know, I want to say something, too. I've been working, so I've been doing stand-up comedy for 10 years. It's been my full-time job for over 3 years, and I love Southern Oregon. From Roseburg down to Redding, this whole area, I'm just a fan of it. I like the people. I like that bent that people have, very independent folks. It's really exciting. I've been doing comedy in Medford for 9 years.
Okay. Now I want to touch with you on this. And since you came from Olympia, mm-hmm. did you ever do that dive bar in Shelton? Cause I used to run a station in Shelton years ago.
I try to do everything I can to stay away from Shelton and, no, I'm just kidding.
Me too.
I don't want to get into trouble. You know where I do comedy and where I'm doing comedy next week is I do comedy at the prison out there.
Really?
Yeah.
The correctional facility.
I've done comedy at 4 different prisons. I love it. And there's always a good attendance at my prison shows.
Yeah, mandatory, right? You gotta show up there. You know, do they get you?
I'm going to tell you something, and I love this, is that when I do shows in prison, like I do have jokes about crime and incarceration. Those jokes don't hit. But a thing about me is that I love big women.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's like my favorite. Like, my wife is big, and I think big women are very attractive. And man, one thing that unites the inmates of America is our love for big women. I don't know what it is about criminals and
really?
Big women.
Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah,
you see,
yeah.
You know, a little slice of life, just a different side of the life there, okay?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm just so glad that you had a few minutes to drop by here.
Any big women that want to come out, that's always a plus for
Sam
me.
Sam wants to meet you, especially if you're a big woman.
I'm a married fella, but it's still nice, you know?
Okay, well, it's just for comedic point of view there. But hey, thanks for stopping in. And like I said,
this was great.
I love your comedy. And anybody who could take lemons, which happened in your life, and make a lot of, and that's essentially what you've done. You've taken lemons, survived it, and made a lot of lemonade from it. Okay.
Indeed.
Okay. And please support him. All right. Sam Miller, comedy show tonight at the Copper Plank in Medford, 8 to 10 p.m. Doors open at 7 o'clock. And good luck and just have fun.
Thank you so much.
I just like the fact that you can't imagine ever not being on stage.
Nah, this is the thing. This isn't a thing that I do. It's a thing that I am. And if you don't believe me, come check it out.
So
I'll show you.
Get set to laugh tonight. Sam, good to get a chance to meet you here. It's 8:53 at KMED. And we're going to have the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. So if you're a big woman, you can get even bigger. Or a big man, for that matter. But the food's that good. 770-5633. We'll talk some history and have some fun with that next.
Here at American Rancher Garage, we respect and support those.
Comedy. This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
I appreciate you being here. We're going to have some fun here with the Diner 62 Real American Quiz. And by the way, they had that special on the weekend still, and it is delicious. I've had it. 2 pork chop and eggs or an 8-ounce New York steak and eggs. Good steak and eggs. On special on the weekends. And Clam Chowder Friday, by the way, is tomorrow. And the half ham special for 11:15, 6 to 9 a.m. during the morning show, 6 to 9, you can get that at Diner 62. A lot of protein and a lot of taties with it, too. Just wonderful, wonderful food. And let me go to line one. I haven't been able to talk to anybody yet. Sam was in here, and I was BSing with him as he went out the door. So I'm just going to hit him live without a net. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Who's this?
Phil.
Oh, hi, Phil. Diner 62 question this morning. While in orbit 170 miles above the Earth, and this was tomorrow in history, February 7th, 1984, Navy Captain Bruce McCandless II became the first human, Phil, to perform an untethered spacewalk. He gets out of the U.S. Space Shuttle Challenger and maneuvers freely using that big jetpack. And McCandless orbited the Earth in tangent with the space shuttle, speeds rather greater than 17,000 miles per hour. How far did McCandless journey from the shuttle on his very first untethered spacewalk? So if he messes up, you know, he's gone. You know, it's that kind of thing. Was it A, 40 feet? Was it B, 80 feet? C, 160 feet? D, 240 feet, or was it E, 320 feet? How far away from the space shuttle did he get in all that?
B, 80.
You're going to think 80, B? Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not that, Phil. Let me go to the next one. We're just talking about how far the first spacewalk without a cord went. Hi, who's this? Morning.
This is Gary.
Hey, Gary. 40 feet, 160 feet, 240, or 320 feet. How far was the first untethered spacewalk 41 years ago?
80.
Well, 80 was already taken. 40, 160, 240, or 320?
160.
160. Was it 160? No, it's not 160 either. Hey, thanks for trying, though. Let me go to the next. Hi, who's this? Morning.
Good morning, Bill. It's Jerry from Rogue River.
Hey, Jerry from Rogue River. Glad to have you here. First spacewalk, untethered, live without a net, so to speak. 40 feet, 240 feet, or 320 feet. What do you say?
You know, I'm going to go with the 240.
You're going to go with 240. It sounds about right. I wish it were right. I'm sorry, Jerry. Okay, let me grab one more. Hi, who's this? Morning.
Tom.
Tom. Now, McCandless either went 40 feet or 320 feet. How far was that first untethered spacewalk?
How about 40 feet?
40 feet. Oh, man, we're down to the end. Let me go. Hi, who's this? Morning.
To me?
Yeah, it's you. Who's this?
Hey, this is Lauren, Eagle Point.
Lauren, how far was the spacewalk? 320 or 320?
Hey, listen, I'm going to go with 320.
320! Yeah! Now, the very first spacewalk was almost 20 years prior to that in 1965. But, you know, back in those days, you know, they were still putting a tether on it. This is the, you know, the first time they really did it without a net. And you could imagine that being a little sporty first time, wouldn't you think?
Yes. I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, I know, but he did. He did. Great story. Hang on here. We'll be right back with you. It's 9 o'clock, KMED, KMED 1, KMED HD 1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass, plus some more emails and other information coming up.
Rev up your engines, folks.
It's 9:01. It's 9:01. Pardon me. I have a Pacific power outage calling me on the other line. We'll have to let that go. That's what it's been like the last few days here. I want to do an email or two of the day before we take off today. Those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry. CentralPointFamilyDentistry.com. Great people. Get your appointment today. I think you'll enjoy that experience. Hans writes me again, Albuquerque, saying, hey, Bill, I'm starting to wonder if this administration's going to apply savings to budget reductions or just shuffle chairs on the Titanic. They supposedly save billions on financial attack missions and then suddenly go on a spending spree in Gaza. Being honest here, not impressed. Hopefully I'm out over my skis on this one. Hans, that's an open question. We don't know right now, but I think a lot of people in the MAGA world have had those kind of questions too. There's kind of a bifurcation going on right now. You're not the only one. Doobie writes me about Senator Golden. Bill, I didn't hear your entire interview, but what I did hear I didn't really care for. The government, both Fed and state, could do a better job of managing forests to help reduce wildfires. John ends up writing me this morning here, too. Consider having Senator Golden on as you do Cliff Bentz, semi-monthly or so. I would agree. And we're, like I said, we're kind of keeping these lines of communication. We don't agree on much, but I do want to keep the information flowing to you. Elaine writes me this morning, Bill, Jeff's full of poop, typical Marxist. I'm doing this for your own good. And Barbara ends up weighing in on this. He said he doesn't know what he can do to convince us that they aren't trying to destroy rural properties. I have a suggestion. Stop the bills that he is sponsoring. It's pretty simple. You know something, Barbara? Not only another email there, but how about Real American Salute? It is pretty simple. You know, it's the actions. This, you know, the distrust is not coming out of a vacuum, all right? Email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, and thanks so much for listening.
The Earl of Sandwiches resides in the kitchen at Diner 62. Stop in for the royal treatment.
Service is the difference with Sweetwater Sanitation, your experts for sanitation services and portable restrooms. From pumping septic tanks, grease traps, even holding tanks, Sweetwater Sanitation brings 20 years and two generations of experience and as a DEQ certified